good to hear the eighth commandment from the Lord today. Thou shalt not steal. And remember, when we look at these commandments, this is after God gave salvation as a gift to Adam and Eve. He clothed them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, Noah. Okay, he got all these people out of their sin, out of the mess that they were in. And then God gave them the law to point them again to how great God was and their need for a Savior. So don't throw out the Ten Commandments because you're a Christian. They could help you know the goodness of God and the sin problem that you and I still struggle with. And so it's they're a gift of God, even though they're not the saving. Jesus does the saving. The law points us to the great Savior. And every year for the Sunday school kindergarten class, a true story about Mrs. Terry, who taught the Sunday school kindergartners. She would go over the Ten Commandments, and she told this story each year about the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. She says, well, once there was a little girl named Sally. She went to the doctor's office for her checkup with the doctor, and she noticed on the doctor's desk a bright, beautiful red pencil. And she always wanted a bright, beautiful red pencil that she saw on the doctor's desk. And so she thought, oh, if I could just have that pencil, what a happy person I would be. And when the doctor turned his back, Sally reached over, grabbed it, and took it for herself. But, oh my, the doctor saw what was happening. And so he said to Sally in a stern voice, you must not take what does not belong to you. You must not take what does not belong to you. You shall not steal. So God gives us His Word so that we might be set free. And the Bible would tell us, you do not belong to you. Your life does not belong to you. You shall not take what does not belong to you. You belong to God. He created you. You're bought with a price because Jesus gave His life so that we would not be in hell. Do not take what does not belong to you. You shall not steal. And Abraham Kuyper, a theologian and actually political leader, said this: every square inch of the universe belongs to God. Therefore, your life, your words, your mind, soul, heart, and strength, they belong to God, not to you. Your relationships, your work, your worship belongs to God. Worship does not belong to you. It's for the praise of the Lord God Almighty. And so, you shall not steal really points us to the greatness of our Savior and how our hearts set free when we know Him, follow after Him. One of the blessings of the commandment is that it shows us that everything belongs to the Lord. He created everything, His fingerprints on each person here today and throughout the earth. Think of missions, you know, people who have turned to Christ and said, I want Christ as my Savior. We sang, I'll shout with the millions on high when our life is over. Really, the song should be edited. I'll shout with the billions on high. Because presently there's 2 to 3 billion people throughout the earth who have said, yes, Jesus is my Savior. You know, He died for me and rose from the dead. I'm going to trust and follow Him. So what the Lord has done. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Okay, and so we know. What a great thing to be walking in God's creation. He gives us that opportunity and privilege. And it just breaks our soul, our heart, and physically we get affected when we see something taken. The man who murdered many yesterday took what didn't belong to him. Those lives didn't belong to him. You shall not take what does not belong to you. And so the commandment shows God's sovereign ownership over all He has made. What do you have that you did not receive? God's word says this. So the clothes that we wear, air that we breathe, the Cheerios or bacon we had or whatever your thing was. You know, what do you have that you did not receive? Your gifts, your work, your job, just all those precious 50, 60, 70 plus years of life that God might give, given by God, belongs to Him. And therefore, means something real important to the people who have said, Jesus is my Lord, want to follow Him. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Shows us that following Jesus means giving as opposed to getting. Okay, giving to God because it belongs to Him as opposed to getting. Impacts relationships. Give a spontaneous testimony time for Marty and Lois. Okay, 50 years of giving. As opposed to getting. Oh, it's in giving that you receive so much and so forth. Bob and Connie in service to Christ here. Vita and Adele. You know, those kind of things. To give, love. As opposed to getting. Impacts what happens on a Sunday morning. I went to church to check out the donuts. Okay. It happens. I went to church. John Guest, a great evangelist, says he went to church to check out a cute girl. But the Lord was checking him out. He didn't get the girl, but the Lord got him. Okay? And often as a pastor, I find myself asking people to come and get some wisdom, come and get a good donut. Hey, come and get the world's best soup. That's a good thing. Come and get the petting zoo. You know, we'll try anything. Anybody, come and get, you know, come and get. Come on, what is it? But really, in the Bible, church and people come to give to God. Thanks. Praise. Well, that's a whole different, that's a horse of a different feather, you know. Come to give to God. Praise. Thanks. Surrendered life. Love to God. Love to people. It was a good 50 years. Many opportunities to give to the Lord. And so God gives. He's that way. So we don't have to take what doesn't belong to us. He gives. He gives the gift of life, the gift of His dear Son, Jesus. It's amazing how, no matter how secular the world gets, people are very, very hesitant to say anything bad about Jesus, I find. I mean, occasionally, many cuss words and so forth, not thinking things through. But Jesus, even an atheist or an agnostic will say, well, I have to pause about Jesus. His Spirit telling us we belong to Him, guiding us all the way. Life forever with God. He gives us heaven, a place to go when these years are done. He prepares that place for us. He wants us actually to be with Him. That's something. And what else? He gives us His Word so we can know the truth. It's amazing that we have the actual words of Jesus before us. And, of course, the reliability of the Bible, which the best evidence of the Bible's reliability is Jesus' view of the Old Testament when He said, this is the Word of God. He said, my words, they're not going to pass away. So the whole truth of God, the Bible itself, pointing to Jesus. The gift of His people, the church. You know, you gotta love them. You know, right? You get to sit with people. You don't get to pick your family. You don't really get to pick your church. God picks your church for you, and you go and love the people there. Build them up in the faith. His whole creation. Oh man, maybe we'll see some colors on the leaves and mountains. Seas, rivers, fantastic part of His creation, critters, people, fantastic that the Lord would do this. Daily bread, you know, God provides that for our soul. Love, grace, and mercy. What a world where love, grace, and mercy is still there. It's true. It's Jesus. It's His Spirit. It's in His people, from His people. And all this undeserved and unearned. So don't take what doesn't belong to you. Because look at this. God gave it. So you might say, thank you, Lord. How can I give you thanks? So we give praise and thanks to God. It's great to focus on Him. Not what I get, but how much I owe. An old James Ward song said. Joe Cox is a James Ward fan. You have to ask him about that. He was a singer and a piano player. To worship God, to give Him worship. Again, you come to bow to God. Isn't that great? Why do you go to church? I go to check out the music, check out the sermon, check who's here and who's not here. You go to worship God. That's what how the Lord did it. Love and mercy we give to each other. Good news. The good news of Christ we could pass on. What a wonderful thing. Our obedience. Lord, I'm going to follow You and not steal, to honor Your name. Because it belongs to You and God the provider. Serving. Well, way to give. His good word. What a nice thing to pass on His good word. Don't be afraid to quote the Bible occasionally to people. You don't have to say, you know, this is out of the Bible. Just say God's word. Hey, He loved you. Gave His Son, you would have eternal life. You know, just go as God passes on good news to other people. Time, talent, and treasure. They all belong to God. We give Him some. And even our work, we co-labor with God. Even when it comes to the gifts we give, you know, in tithing, some pastors in a good way stress tithing, one-tenth to the Lord. And so, but we want to still recognize everything belongs to God. So that's why we don't sing, one-tenth to Jesus I surrender, one-tenth to Him I freely give. I surrender, one-tenth, I surrender, one-tenth. That would be a rough song for a lot of us to sing, huh? Be like, let's not sing that one. But it's, you know, it's Bible, so we can learn how to sing it and practice it. But when you think of all that God has done, what we have a chance to live by not stealing, but by being thankful and giving. The question is, do you owe God anything? What do you owe God? You know, when I owe somebody something, I either avoid them. Here comes so-and-so, I owe $20, I'm in the men's room, he'll never find me there. Okay. Or I move toward him rapidly. Oh, there's Luke cut my grass the other day. I didn't pay him. I owe him $20. I gotta get to him before the end of the day. I owe him. And what do you and I owe God? You know. Our heart, soul, mind, strength. We pray to God, don't we? We say, Lord, forgive us our debts. That means, Lord, I owe You for my sin. I'm disobedient. And if Jesus doesn't pay for this sin, I have no hope. Okay? We owe God for our eternal soul. And we say, thank You, God. We can give our soul to Him. Give our trust in Him. And what do you owe your neighbor? Paul said, don't owe man anything except the continuing debt to love one another. So we owe it to one another to love other people. And that's something. Puts a little more oomph on it. We used to get phone calls at my house because somebody owed something to somebody. They called and they said, Bertha Daniels, we want to talk to Bertha Daniels. There's no Bertha Daniels here. Tell her to cough it up, wherever she is. I had to ask Regina, is your middle name Bertha? Or, well, it was not the case. So try, you want to get it right. And with God, how are we going to get it right? What do we owe God? You know, say, I surrender all. Lord, would you pay the debt that I cannot pay? and to confess to God, oh, this I've stolen from you, Lord, with my view of time. I fit you in on Sunday, because after all, Sunday's my day off. You know, somebody said, God and worship are not something on our schedule. We are on God's schedule. That's a whole different. God has scheduled us to say, come and follow me. That's really something. And to say, Lord, help us recognize you own everything. We surrender our hearts and soul to you. And please, please, please do not let me try to steal from you. From my brother and sister, that is, whether it be taxes, time, treasure, words that are against God, against others, all these things we steal. Kidnap my own life from God. What a foolish thing that he would give us. And you know, there are three thieves in the Bible that turned to Christ, had their life changed. You could probably name them if you just stop for a couple minutes. One, the thief on the cross. Isn't it something? Jesus, God the Son, dying between two thieves. You should remember that next time you hear of a robbery. I wonder if Jesus would die next to that guy. Or that gal. Yeah, he would. He did. Somebody said, the cross is like the church. God among thieves. So God's there, and then we're the thieves. We'll take the spot. Say, yeah, God, I need your forgiveness, your love. So the thief on the cross, he meets the Lord. Matthew, the tax collector. Tax collectors took way too much. Dear government, $21 trillion in debt. I was checking out the debt clock, how much we owe. It increases $100,000 every 3 seconds. Okay. I've tried to spend money fast. I can't do it that fast. I tried. My wife said, give me that credit card. You're not getting it. But how much we owe. Matthew, he took stuff. People didn't like Matthew. Levi Matthew turned to Christ. He became a man of good news. Good news. The thief became a gospel giver. Maybe that's you and me. And then the last one. Zacchaeus may be a favorite. Wee little Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree. Jesus stopped at the place of a thief and said, I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus comes down. He's all excited. They get in the house. And Zacchaeus, because he recognizes Christ, he says, I give back four times what I've stolen from others. That's something. When I was young, I stole chewing gum, rubber bands, paper clips, candy, socks. Why socks? I don't know. So you got give it back more love. Thief recognizes more love to give, and stopped at Zacchaeus' place. Would Jesus stop at your heart that stole from him? And he said, I come to your house. Oh, I'll give back. I'll give half to the people who really need it. And Jesus said, salvation came to this one. Came to this one. Salvation would come to you today if you just say, I'm a thief. I'd steal from God in a heartbeat. But he would give you life with him instead. You couldn't have life with Christ like Zacchaeus had. And so, we stand before God and we say, holy is the Lord who says, do not take what does not belong to you. And we surrender our lives to him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. You came to seek and save that which was lost. You saved the dying thief. You saved Matthew. You saved Zacchaeus. And by your good love, would you knock on the door of our hearts and let's just put our name in the list. Just saved this thief. And we say our name. And we say, might salvation come to our house, our soul, our heart, and say, I turn to Jesus and follow him. And thank you, Jesus, you said you came to seek and to save that which was lost, seeking to save those who stole from God. And we surrender and repent, and we're glad to follow you like Zacchaeus did and Matthew and others. Just give us your mercy. Help us to pass that on to others. And thank you for your dear commandments that do point us to the wonderful greatness of Christ, who shares his very salvation, life in heaven with us. We pray this in his name. Amen.